Good morning, everyone, and welcome, visitors. Today's scripture reading is coming from First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for us.
We probably all know what it is to feel overlooked. There's been a moment in our life when we kind of got passed by or rejected or unseen or unwanted. In our earliest days, you remember being on the playground, don't you? And it's time for kickball. And the captains are chosen and you're lined up. And this sinking feeling starts to come over you like, I just don't want to be picked last. And one by one, the other children are picked, and sure enough, you're the last one picked. Or even if you're not last, you've reached that point of, I feel badly about myself because I was overlooked. All of these others were chosen instead of me. You're just hoping for that selection, that eye on you, that finger pointed in your direction. Or perhaps it was that time where you had romantic feelings for someone, only to be rejected, or you entered into that dating or courtship relationship only to have them dump you and break it off, and you're left feeling overlooked, unwanted, rejected. Those moments in life, we can't escape them, where you have that feeling of you're being evaluated. So you go in for the audition, or you go in for the job interview, or you've already got the job, but you're being considered for the promotion. Or you're trying out for the team, or you're applying to that school. Those are different settings, but there's the same underlying question that we're asking in each and every one of those places. Like, what do I bring to the table? Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? Will I be chosen? You know, we live in this resume world where you list your accolades and your accomplishments, and so often your value, your worth, it's measured by your popularity or your platform. How many followers do you have? How much success have you seen? And I think if we're honest, we've so been influenced in that way of thinking that it becomes difficult not to make assumptions that's the way God operates also. Surely God must do the same thing. He must look at us to see what good we've done, what value we have. Well, today's Bible story, we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel. I hope you have a Bible with you. In fact, go ahead and grab it, open it up, turn to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 16, and it's a well-known story. It's the story of David being anointed as king over Israel. And the truth from this chapter is just incredibly surprising and wonderful. And here it is. God chooses the unlikely. God chooses the unlikely. Not because of what they bring to the table, not because of what's on the resume, but because of what he intends to do through them. And that's what we're going to talk about together today. So let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor here. Just thrilled that you're with us today. We're going to be doing baptisms here in a little bit at the end of the service, so we have a number of guests that are with us today. But no matter who you are, coming from near or far, welcome. What a joy it is to be together. And I'm praying that as you study God's word, he brings you closer to his heart. We are starting a brand new sermon series today. So Michael mentioned this a few moments ago, but we're kicking off a series in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. So this is the life of David. from shepherd to king. And David's life is marked by courage and by grace. And so really this will be over the next 8 weeks as we trace through how God works through an imperfect man because he had his flaws. How God works through an imperfect man to bring about his perfect purposes. And really how ultimately David's story points us to Jesus, the one true and faithful king. Did you know that David, yes, David, King David, is the person mentioned in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament character? By a long shot. David is mentioned more in the New Testament than any other Old Testament character. It is said of him in the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 13 that he was a man after God's own heart. So the frequent references to him in the New Testament, him being called a man after God's own heart, and you probably know something of his adventures and exploits and the amazing things he has done. If nothing else, David defeating Goliath, which is in chapter 17 of this book. But it's amazing to recognize that with all of those accolades, we might think or have this assumption as a mighty man of faith, as a hero of old, that he must have been near perfect. But he wasn't. He was far from it. He messed up, and guys, he messed up big. Yes, he was a mighty man for the Lord. Yes, there is much that we can learn from him. It's why we're going to be spending 8 weeks going even deeper into his life. But perhaps nothing greater to be learned from David than to repent and to mourn and to be broken over our sin when we fall short, when we dishonor a holy and loving God. So these books, 1 and 2 Samuel, by the way, originally written as one book, but then broken into two. These books share with us the history of Israel, and it was a time of transition. So they were in the season, the period of judges, being ruled by these leaders who, and it was like the darkest season for them as a people, right? It's where the scripture says, everyone did as he saw fit in his own eyes. And so these books share with us the transition from the time of the judges to the monarchy, or like the time of the kings. And so this is a major change for God's people as they come out of that darkest period into one that was filled with a little more hope and success. So what happens is the people of Israel demand a king. And you want to know why they demanded a king? Not because their spiritual sickness had grown so much. Not because of the rampant violence and idol worship that was happening in their land. Did you guys remember this past year we did a study in Gideon? So we got a little bit of a glimpse of what it was like during that time. No. That's not why they asked for a king, or rather demanded a king. They demanded a king because we want to be like all the other nations. We, who have been chosen by God and are supposed to be set apart and following Yahweh, the one true God, we just want to be like everybody else. So they demand a king, and the Lord gives them Saul, the first king of Israel. And Saul disobeys the Lord, pretty promptly disobeys the Lord. And now the Lord is going to raise up another leader, a man after his own heart, a warrior, but also a poet and a shepherd, one anointed for the role of the king. That's what we're going to see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, is this anointing where the prophet Samuel puts oil on David's head. He anoints him as king. But he didn't look much like a king. So let's get into it this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Starting in verse 1, I'm teaching from the NIV this morning. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel. By the way, you see that Samuel is mourning there, and oftentimes we associate that with someone has died. Oh, has Saul died? No. He's mourning over Saul's sin. He's mourning over the disobedience that arose from their king. Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So let's keep reading. 1 Samuel 16, verse 2. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate. So Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Let's stop there. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So this is the prophet Samuel. We won't get into all of his backstory. Major player. In fact, he's the author of these books. And he shows up to do what God has called him to do. Again, he's carrying this grief because of Saul, the king, has done wrong. He looked right. He was a head taller than anybody else, but he led wrong. And so the instructions here are very clear to Samuel. Like, I've chosen one of the sons of Jesse to be king. So he knows the exact family. He's in the town of Bethlehem, and the Lord is going to show him which of these sons is chosen as king. And so really the parade begins where the sons of Jesse are going to pass by one by one in front of Samuel. And I mean, can you imagine that? Like each one of them is probably hoping it's them. These sons of Jesse are like, one of us is going to be king? Like, I really hope it's me, you know? Like, so they probably have their best clothing on. They're probably trying to stand up nice and tall. You know, again, that was kind of a thing. We saw that in verse 6, where it's like the firstborn, Eliab, he must have been a tall guy. But it was like, no, don't take that in consideration. So they're standing up nice and tall, puffing out their chest, kind of strutting in there, trying to look as kingly as possible. This parade begins one by one, hoping that Samuel says, hey, you're the guy. But the Lord doesn't care about the outside. Right? That's what verse 7 tells us clearly. That God doesn't care. God doesn't look at people the way we do. What he cares about is what's on the inside. And so what happens is, one by one, he rejects the sons of Jesse. And they get down to, you know, even some of the youngest ones, they're probably thinking, hey, my chances have just increased. With every no, my chances are increased of being the one chosen. But one by one, he rejects them. The Lord rejects them. Doesn't matter if they're tall, dark, and handsome. Doesn't matter how much they've done. Maybe they came in with their resume in hand, or they came in sharing all the things they had accomplished. So let's continue reading. We're in 1 Samuel 16. We're picking it back up at verse 8. Okay, so we've seen Eliab, and then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So you notice there that Jesse had 8 sons, 7 of them have passed by. And so in verse 11, he, meaning Samuel, asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So let's not miss what happens in this beautiful passage and story. God picks the runt. The one that they all forgot about. Like, this was a major happening that was going on. Bethlehem at this time would have been a very small, rural, sort of insignificant village in the Judean hillside. And I just love this moment where the seven boys pass by, and the Lord says no to each one, and Samuel is like, you sense it's almost like an awkward moment. He's like, huh, I'm sure I'm in the right house. Surely he brought all of his boys. Like, this is kind of a big deal. He would have made sure that all of his sons were here. Like, he's like, I'm going to choose one of your sons. Surely he would have brought all of his sons to be here. And so he's like, is there any chance that there's a son here that you, for some reason, didn't bring? Like, I know this sounds preposterous, like you would have brought all of your sons to this. Jesse, did you forget one? Like, are you getting up there in age? Are you having a senior moment? And he's like, well, there's David. And you just imagine that a snicker kind of goes through the room. Well, there's David. Like, I mean, he's tending the sheep. At this point, it's like David hasn't been rejected. He hasn't even been considered. He was completely out of sight, out of mind. He didn't fail the audition. He never got invited to it. And yet, they call for him. And when he walks in, God says, that's the one. Anoint him. This is the one. And guys, there's just such good news wrapped in this moment as we study this story together in 1 Samuel 16. Listen to me. God sees you even when other people don't. When you feel overlooked, when you feel underestimated or forgotten, God isn't impressed by the big appearances. He's not impressed by those who are just polished and beautiful, and he's not fooled by the confidence and the swagger that the seven older brothers had. God looks at the heart. Now, I want us to look closely at the story this morning, because there's a really interesting part that I want to point out, and that is this. This parade of the sons of Jesse is not the first time Samuel has seen them. We read the scripture a few moments ago. Maybe you caught this. If not, look back at verse 5. Right? The second half of that verse where it says, Samuel consecrated who? Somebody help me. Jesse and his sons. So this was immediately before the scene where he anoints David, where the parade of men comes through. It's when he's arriving in Bethlehem, and he has this exchange with the elders. He tells the elders, consecrate yourselves, but with Jesse and his sons, he personally consecrates them. Now, what that would have meant would have been like a ceremonial washing, purification, potentially even like holy garments or robes, or certainly changing into different clothing and to clean garments. And guys, David wasn't even there for that. So, like, no wonder Samuel is confused. He's already seen the sons of Jesse, and David wasn't there. You wonder, as he did these rites of purification with them, that was an opportunity for him to size them up and look them over, even before they paraded one by one in front of them. So, but here's the point I want to make this morning is, like, again, in all of this pomp and circumstance, in all of this decorum that was unfolding in this seemingly insignificant place in Bethlehem, in the house of Jesse, no one thought to say, hey, Pop, shouldn't we go invite Davey? Not his mom, not his dad, not his brothers, not the elders of Bethlehem. No one said, do you think maybe David should come and be a part of this? Who saw David with the sheep? Who saw David out there fighting off wolves and bears and lions and growing in stature and might? God did. And God sees you. He sees you when other people don't. In fact, the Bible says this, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. And so, in this story, this true story, God chooses the unlikely shepherd boy, and Samuel anoints him. And guys, this is a foreshadowing of Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one who God would raise up one day to rule his people, in fact, all of humanity, with justice. But for the time being, in 1 Samuel 16, a king is chosen. I mean, Saul is still alive. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from him. He has disobeyed, and the Lord has already shared through the prophet Samuel, the Lord is rejecting you. You rejected the Lord, he's now rejecting you. And David has now been anointed, and guys, nothing happens. Like, David just goes right back out to the pasture. Thanks, David, thanks for coming in. You smell better now that you've been anointed. Go tend to the fields. He has no throne. He has no crown. He has no kingdom. There's no fast track in God's kingdom. And I think that's where many of us get frustrated with the Lord, isn't it? Where it's like, well, I want this, and I want this now, and I want this on my timeline. And the Lord says, but that's not my timeline. Here's the truth. God shapes you in obscurity. We assume that calling should lead to immediate promotion and platform and notoriety and prominence. But if you look at the Bible in the scriptures, calling always comes before even seasons of preparation. So as David trots back out to the pasture, it wasn't punishment. It was preparation. Again, like when David is out there with the sheep, we'll learn a lot more about this in the next weeks. But as he is out there with the sheep, he's learning things. God is growing him and shaping him to be the leader that Israel needed. I mean, if you've worked with sheep, if you know anything about sheep, like the lessons learned as a shepherd, like sheep just panic. And they need constant care, and they need protection. So we know some of the most amazing and dramatic things from his life are the way that he courageously fought off wild beasts. And through that, he learned dependence. He was a puny runt, right? He's a boy running solo. He's not any match for a lion. And yet, he learns that as he depends on the Lord, as he is given responsibility, maybe even greater and greater responsibility, his dependence and need for the Lord increases. He needed God's help. You saw this morning earlier, we have a Bible reading plan that's going to go along with these few months. I hope you take advantage of that. Tomorrow's reading is from Psalm 78. I want to actually look there now, starting in verse 70. It kind of reflects on this season in David's life, where he is called and anointed, but then he goes back into obscurity because God shapes you in obscurity. And it says this in verse 70 and 71, he, being God, chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people. God used sheep to shape the shepherd king. And here's the challenge for us. Like, as we live in a culture that's just obsessed with being seen, God often does his deepest work when no one is watching. Like when your life feels very ordinary and plain and there's nothing notable about it, there's no one watching, God is not absent in those seasons. If you're being faithful and you're doing the right things, but you feel like this is just going unnoticed, God sees. God knows. God cares. So you press on in integrity, in faithfulness, building those skills, depending on God, even in obscurity, because God is shaping you. God is going to shape people in obscurity long before he entrusts them with influence. In fact, in our world, in the evangelical world, there's no shortage of leaders and pastors who fall from grace. And you start to recognize the platform was too big too soon because the character wasn't there. But what good news, and I want to close this out this morning as we look at this final point from 1 Samuel 16, that God strengthens you for his purpose. He sees you when others don't. He shapes you in obscurity, and he is going to strengthen you for his purpose. So the end of this section in verse 13 tells us something really critical, that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Like, so before he picks up a stone to go into battle against Goliath, God gives him power. So that actually happens in the next chapter. Chapter 17, we see that's where the army of Israel is in this showdown, this face-off with the Philistines. And a puny shepherd boy says, I'll go fight him. Like, the armor doesn't even fit him. He's the most unlikely. But God strengthened him for the purposes of God. Right? I mean, that battle is this, it's a one-on-one death match between Goliath and the shepherd boy. The shield of Goliath weighs more than David weighs. So how did he win? The battle belonged to the Lord. God gave David strength to accomplish God's purposes. This is really what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what Alicia read for us a few moments ago. Right? Not many of you were wise, and I'll just abbreviate some of this, but we'll have it on the screen. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were influential. But God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Why? Verse 29. So that no one may boast. God chooses the unlikely. And he does so in order that his power, the power from the Lord, the strong arm of God, is unmistakable, right? You remember this, like the Lord telling Gideon, oh, you got too many men. We're going into battle. There's 135,000 of them. We can't possibly have too many. The Lord says, nah, you got too many. Because if you win this battle, when you win this battle, then you'll think it's because of you guys. I'm going to dwindle it down to 300 guys. So that when you win, you'll be able to say clearly and unmistakably, and the whole world will know, it wasn't them. That's the story of David. It wasn't David accomplishing all of these things that we're going to see. It was God working through David. God chooses the unlikely so that his power is unmistakable. And again, this is a story that points forward. We're able to read the stories of the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament. Like, we know what's going to happen centuries later when another son of David is going to be born, and he's going to come in Bethlehem, and he's going to be raised in obscurity, and he's going to be overlooked and rejected. In fact, Isaiah says that he had no beauty or majesty, and yet God chose him. And that son of David, Jesus, is going to face down another enemy, the biggest enemy of all, death and Satan and sin and hell, and overcome it by the power of God. And what good news that all who come to him in faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the blood that he shed, his innocent blood on the cross, an atonement for our sins, that we have the hope of eternity, paradise, forgiveness of sins, and a right relationship with God, and that we are more than conquerors. Our sins can be forgiven. And again, I want to point this out, that it's not because of what's on our resume. It's not because of what we bring to the table. It's only because of what God has done through Christ. God sees you. God is shaping you, and God will strengthen you for his purpose. So the question for us isn't like, am I impressive enough for people? Am I good enough for God? The question is, am I willing to trust the Lord? God isn't just holding auditions. He's forming hearts. And the same God who chose David is still choosing unlikely men and women today. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. The God who is mighty. The God who is bigger. The God who is able. Thank you for the example we have in this young shepherd boy. We pray that as we study his life over the next weeks, Lord, you would help us and you would reveal to us even more the mysteries of the gospel, the foreshadowing of Jesus, the ultimate king, who reigns with justice and also with grace. And so, Lord, I thank you that today we have this good news that you see us and you're shaping us even when we're feeling unnoticed or in obscurity, and that you will strengthen us for your purposes. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would give us ears to hear what you're leading us to do. Because, God, we want to obey you. We want to be men and women after your own heart. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, that you're willing to forgive our wrongs, to put us in right standing with yourself through your son, Jesus. We're trusting in him today. And we thank you for your endless love for us, Lord. We love you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.